Welcome to the Wide World of Punting, where we talk about anything and everything in the world of punting. I'm Jacob Wynn. This is episode 8, which is actually the final episode of our in-depth summer series. So to be completely honest with you guys, I had another couple of guests. I really tried so hard that we had agreement that they were going to be on the show. We just couldn't make it happen. At this point in time, had I had one or two extra guests, we could have extended this season by an episode or two. But those are opportunities that I'm going to pursue in the future. I'm still very happy about the quality and the ground that we have covered in the previous 7 episodes, and including the one that you're going to enjoy today. So thank you for coming along with me on the journey. If you have enjoyed it, I hope that you've enjoyed passing the time watching or listening. Even better if you've picked up a couple of learnings along the way from the world of punting. One thing I deliberately attempted to do this time around, as well as being a longer in-depth conversations, just to try that, to be able to get more in-depth with things, was to make it not focused on current events so that every topic, every conversation remains evergreen. It's got that shelf life. If you haven't caught all the previous episodes, you can jump into them whenever you want down the line, just the ones that are specifically interesting to you or the guests interesting to you, and recommend the show to your friends or specific episodes to your friends. You'll be doing them a favor. You'll be doing me a favor as well. One thing I'm proud to say too is that if you've come along the way, a lot of you guys would have enjoyed some great profits. We got the Wide World Bet of the Week up again just yesterday, $3.50. And if you've been backing these each week, you're up, I think, $300 with a $50 bet pending, the Big Bash Futures one, if you've been on all of them for a max stake. And that's the one exception, the Wide World Bet of the Week, in the show that is a current event. But as you know, we always put that at the very end of the episode, and that'll be no different tonight. We will sign off with one last Wide World Bet of the Week, so look forward to that. But let's jump into this final episode, which is a chat with our show sponsor, Tristan from Top Sport. You know him well. He makes those markets possible for us, but he also makes his time available for us to be a major contributor to this show and an asset to this show. And in this chat, we cover a heap of interesting grounds, a bunch of different topics to wrap the season. So it's a total mixed bag. So I think you'll find a lot of insight across a range of topics. I ask him what's his biggest ever mistake he's made as a bookmaker. He gives insights into exactly how totes work, quaddies, exotics, which I think is vital for people that bet into anything like that and don't think everyone understands totally how they work. We talk Betfair, betting exchanges, talk live betting, the laws, the evolution of the laws, as well as how live betting odds are calculated. A big one, the hot topic in the group today specifically, is Top Sport's recent review of promo use by account holders and the fair play rules. So we dive into that one. The Tripod admin team had an exciting project that we undertook over the summer too, where we gave Top Sport a bunch of feedback on a bunch of things we either suggested they could add or improve about their app to create a better experience for customers. And I actually talked to Tristan about a bunch of the things that we suggested, and he takes a look forward to what they're trying to achieve in 2022. But first, I actually asked him his best and worst moment of 2021 and a couple of his most memorable betting events ever. So let's start there. I hope you enjoy. Well, what springs to mind when you think back of the year that was?
Yeah, I look back on it, and from my end, we made a real concerted push towards the spring to really try to grow our brand and to try to, you know, get more customers involved. And Melbourne Cup Day for us was one of the biggest, most exciting days I've ever had working for Top Sport. It was our most ever users on the site, most ever people wagering on the event, and we really took a stance against the favourite incentivised. We offered best of the best, and we offered those limits for every customer in the country to get on to win 100,000 if they wanted to. And we had all the biggest pros in the country betting with us, and we really took on incentivised in that race. And fortunately for us, it fell our way. So that was easily the most memorable day. It was one of those days where, you know, it just felt we put a lot of planning into it, and we it just felt really, really smooth. So that was a great day from that end. And then in terms of a rough day we had, which very much stands out. It culminates in the Storm Newcastle game back in the middle of the year. I think it was in July, and we were having a pretty ordinary day on the races, and the punters were well on top of us, and we sort of went into the end of the night, not certainly like we weren't betting more than we would normally, but it was one of those days, a little bit of a punter, you know, you're wanting to try to even up the ledger, and the line moved from 15.5 out to 18.5, and we just kept laying the Storm at every single price point, every price point we'd move it. And we sort of thought the Knights were going to be somewhat competitive in the game. And we ended up doubling our max stand on the match, and because the line moved 3 points in the last hour, which, as everyone knows, we really put the foot down in the last hour and take everyone on to win at least 10,000. And we got hit for our maximum liability on multiple times. I think we moved it a half point each time. And yeah, it was easily our worst NRL result throughout the course of the year, and one of our worst results at any point throughout the year. So, and that culminated on the back of a really, really bad race day. So it was a somber old drive home. It was one of our last days in our Tweed Heads office as well. So sitting at the border crossing, waiting to get through in the middle of COVID, was a pretty old sick and sorry wait on Saturday evening that night.
I know that one must have hurt you, because I think you referred to that one in our NRL season wrap. And if people recall that game, it was over pretty quickly too. Can't remember, halftime score, something like 28-0 or something along those lines. You took on the Storm right in the midst of when they were an absolute buzzsaw, just destroying the league. And you paid the price on that day, unfortunately. I asked you then as well, that's 2021, but I just thought what would be interesting to hear, any other like really memorable bets over the years? Like, there must be some that just stick with you, whether it's a bullet that's been dodged or just like another really painful loss. Sorry to bring it up, but people like to hear this kind of stories.
No, they do. They are one of the most painful losses. And for me, whenever you're bookmaking, like if you're comfortable with what your liability on the event is, if you win or lose, you're playing the numbers. And you know, from my perspective, I'm never too concerned at that. Like I know deep down inside, if I've got to watch a game a lot more intently, or if I'm sitting there and I can't take my eyes off the screen, I know I'm probably standing an event for something that I'm not comfortable with. And probably the one that always sticks out in my mind was back in the Masters a few years back. And we had a big customer who was betting quite sizably on the golf, and normally he backs things to he might back something to win $500,000, and we'll normally take his bet and manage it in a way where we bring the stand down to where we're comfortable, which might be 200 or 250 or something along those lines, and that's just his average bet size on the golf. And he's a pretty sharp player, but he rang up to back Sergio in the Masters, and he rang up to have 10,000 on him at 40-1, and That sort of is normal bet size on these events, and we took it live, and then by the time we hung up the phone, Dustin Johnson has fallen down the stairs, and everyone's odds have absolutely collapsed. And before Sergio's even teed off, he's gone 40s into 20s. He shot straight to the lead, and all of a sudden we're standing in for double what we're comfortable, and then we got ourselves into a really tricky situation where do we try to bail out at $6 or $7 or $8 or whatever he was? Do we try to lay the other players? And it was just one of those events where whichever way you pulled, you went wrong, and we end up bringing it down a little bit. We couldn't get it down anywhere near where we wanted it to be. And then I think we all remember what happened in the, I certainly remember it a lot more than a lot of other people, but Sergio went on and won his first major. He's butchered a lot of majors in the past, and he certainly didn't, he tried to do that one, but I think Jordan Spieth might have been also just as nervous. And that one is by far and away the most memorable event I've had for a long time, because it was just one of those ones where it wasn't anyone's fault. It was just a situation where we got it wrong timing-wise, and then we were chasing our tail for the duration of the next two or three days. And it was a really good lesson. I still tell a lot of our guys when they're starting, you know, you have to then make a decision. Do you take your medicine at that point? Do you put yourself in an ordinary position for the rest of the tournament, or do you go down with the ship? And we sort of went halfway in between, but it was certainly a memorable one, and the way it culminated in a pretty exciting finish certainly makes us talk about it on most evenings out. And then one of the one that we laid at it wasn't necessarily short odds, but we've got one of our really sharp racing partners. He's been betting actively on the cricket in recent times, and he's basically been laying the draw, and he's been backing both of the sides in the test, and you know, obviously working on a theory that the draw, he wants to oppose a draw. And he had a pretty good crack at both India and New Zealand in the, I think it was the second test, whichever test ended up being a draw, obviously spoiler alert, tell the result, but he'd been doing that for most of the summer, and he'd been finding most of the results, and he had a fair lead, but he was obviously risking quite a significant balance to win a small chunk on most instances. And And this match actually culminated on the night of a Christmas party. And New Zealand were battling to hang on for a draw. We've got a couple of Kiwis in our office and we were sitting there in the restaurant. We had the cricket up on the big screen and they got 9 down and they had to try to last, I think, 10 overs to try to get there to draw the match. And yeah, that one ended up going our way, and it wasn't as big a result as a lot of the other events we've been involved in, but it was so memorable having the whole crew together supporting it as a team, and a really gutsy result as well. I think that's been something I've really enjoyed over the Test cricket over the last sort of couple of months, even the England Australia draw where he unfortunately didn't get involved, but it was a pretty captivating draw too, which is a different element to what you see in the T20 stuff.
That's what I was about to ask you. I hope for that bloke's sake he wasn't on the draw at the SCG, because that one actually he would have been getting plus money opposing the draw going into that test with the weather forecast. And we know, or you know, people who follow along saw how the climax of that game going down literally to the final ball. The other thing you mentioned there, I think a lot of punters can really relate to, is that emotion that, like, I experienced that. So if I make a bet that I think's really good and it loses, and whether it just loses outright or I feel it was unlucky, I mean, either way, the response has to be, look, in the long run, if I make good bets like that, like I went into the game knowing it was a good bet, it didn't go my way, but that's still, you know, the right way to bet. It's that feeling when you're sitting on the edge of your seat and when you're like really interested in a game that you've bet on, that's also where you've got a question to yourself, like, how much have I put on? Like, maybe those are the games where you've put a bit too much on. So that's exactly the same. Even from your side of thing, you're kind of playing the role of the punter in terms of what bets you're taking for, you know, a maximum liability. What else we want to ask you about? I guess reflecting, this is another one that might tie into, you know, lessons learned. Is it when you reflect back on like your career running a bookmaker, or just in general, the decisions that Top Sport as a brand has made over the last, you know, you've been around since what, the mid 80s as a brand?
On course, we've been around for a long time. We went online in 2005, so we've certainly been around for 15 years. And yeah, it's just been a massive evolution of learning new things, and we're still learning new things. You know, we've figured in a couple of other little hurdles out, which I'm sure we'll touch on later over the last couple of months as well. So it's just constantly being able to evolve and learn. And one of the interesting lessons that we had to learn there was probably a couple of years ago when we've been betting on exotics and racing exotics, and we had one of our customers, and he took a pretty sizable quaddy and he had it running around. This was another one where it sticks out in the mind. It was I think it was Emirates Day, and we had a good day building, and we were having a, you know, really good day. There's a lot of roughies winning those first few legs of the quaddy in Melbourne, and I remember then clicking into the book to have a look at what the quaddy was doing come the last race, and we were standing all these options for just silly numbers. They were up over $1 million, and I remember sitting there going, wow, because it was all the other legs had been rough, and the favourite, I think, was our best way, and we were going to lose, I think, $400,000 or $500,000 on the favourite, and we just had nowhere to go. So it was a really tricky one there, where we had to try to then manage our position so that, where I touched on, where you got to take your medicine at that point, and we had to basically put ourselves in a position where we could mitigate a loss. We knew whatever happened, we were going to have a really bad result on the last leg, and fortunately, the favourite got up, which was still a really bad result. I don't think I've ever said that that the favourite winning the last is something that I was happy about. But that was something we had to then go, and we had to change our tact, and we had to change how we manage those quaddies, because they can get out of control really, really rapidly, and something that you've got to be mindful of. And we had to put steps in place where, particularly over those spring days, there's just so much money in these pools that they can turn, you know, people can have a couple of thousand investment, and the pool can be over $1 million. So we obviously need to be mindful of that, and we've had to change our strategy in that sense to ensure that we weren't put in a position where, you know, it was a loss that was well outside of our risk appetite for those late legs.
Well, that ties into another topic that we wanted to cover on, which I thought was kind of a bit out of left field, but ties perfectly into like the parimutuel totes and racing and exotics. But obviously people can back best tote or mid tote for, you know, win and place, and not necessarily everybody understands exactly the mechanics of that. So I thought you could actually give us a brief explanation. So with that example, right, the quaddy, which is pretty popular. Now, is the bet that people are placing with you when they're having 2,000 on the quaddie, and obviously that's involves a lot of combinations by the sound of things, that the punter's picking a few, you know, in each of the four races, and then obviously the odds are dependent on the amount of weight of money of that specific winning combination in the pool. So the rougher selections that get up, the higher price it'll pay at the end. But are you just honouring whatever the price of the quaddie ends up being, or is the punter's money actually feeding into that pool?
Yeah, well, it's sort of a question where there's a different sort of answer depending on the quality of the race. And basically, from our perspective, we pay the super tab on all of our exotics, and the reason why we do that is generally it's the biggest pool. So and that's where a lot of the money gets filtered into. And from our perspective, we always put a portion of the exotic money back for a couple of reasons, where it protects against a something not being anywhere near accurate, and it also for the example where we've got a really sizable pool where it basically reduces our liability. Now, you know, a lot of punters previously would just bet directly into the tab, and that would reduce the pool completely, whereas we'll put a percentage of the bet back. We're still standing it for a significant amount, but we're also conscious that the issue is you just don't know what these things are going to pay. When you take a bet at the start of the quaddie, it could pay any number. And if people have got it 20 or 30 times, you need to put yourself in a position where you're going to be comfortable standing for whatever it is. Now, our business going back into the quaddie pools is a big loser. We lose a significant amount to the tab, but it's one of those insurance sort of policies where we don't want to ever be in a position again where we get to the end of a day like Emirates Day and be standing something that's just 10 times more than what we're comfortable standing an event for. And if you've got genuine customers or regular customers, you know, you've got to honour the payout. So that's the purpose of putting some money back into the pools on the big days. And what that is, it's good for the customers, because the more money into those, or for an overarching customers, the more money into those pools make it accurate, make the pools bigger. And the reality is, if you were betting directly into those pools, there's sometimes 2 or 3 million in those quaddie pools. They're big numbers, and it allows the dividends to get to quite a big number. Then the flip side is when you've got the really minuscule tote pools. So we had an instance there last night at the Townsville Greyhounds where the pools were manipulated pretty significantly on the last couple of races. So we always put a little bit of money back into those pools, again, not to reduce our liability per se, but just to make sure that the dividends are in line with what they should be. And you know, it's people say, oh, are you basically reverse manipulating? Well, you're not really, because everyone sort of does that. And it just, it's to make the pools reflective of the pure dividend. And it's something we're actually developing over the next 6 months. We're going to have fixed odds exotics up, which will allow people to sort of, I guess, see what the true price is. And that's the same as when you're looking at your win and your place odds on a horse race, where we bet best tote SP. And sometimes if you take a bet that's too big or something you're not comfortable with, you might, you know, put some money back into the pools to manage that in a sense as well. But the customer's always got the insurance of the SP dividend in that place as well. So there's always a fairness in that sense, but that's where maybe with the fixed odds exotics, when we can bring that in, that will take that element out, because when the pools are minimal, the variance of the fluctuations of the dividends can be wild. They can pay massively overs or massively unders, and it's just trying to sort of, obviously from our end, try to make sure they pay at a fair dividend so that punters are either not upset and that they're not getting an advantage either. So it's a tricky little thing. We try to you know, manage that in the sense that we try to stake our bet backs in a number that's going to result in a fair dividend. You don't always get it right, but that's the intent anyway.
I feel like tote manipulation and even further understanding of that could almost be its own subject that we can tackle on another day. But that is an important notion for people to understand, though, that like their bets into a quaddie, into an exotic or anything tote related could be partially going into the pool, which does mean if their bet is quite big, and especially if it's big relative to the pool, where you're talking about betting on a lower liquidity event, they are actually reducing their own dividend, essentially. So they, in that case, if they knew that, they probably should actually consider playing fixed odds. You know, even if it's, if you're going to play a quaddie, well, you could just multi a series of horses, or if you're going to play, you know, win or place, maybe look at fixed. I think it's important for people to understand that. Change gears again, and this links to people that bet races, but really I wanted to ask you about Betfair and in general, you know, betting exchanges. And you've just already discussed where you get in massive liability situations. And in the past, you've talked about maybe Betfair would be a tool that you guys would use to lay off massive liability. And obviously, it's massive in terms of the array offered for sport as well. So what I'm curious about is do you kind of see Betfair or any other similar services as a threat to a general corporate bookmaker? I just wonder, with all the fees and turnover taxes that you have, and where their model is kind of like punter against punter, does that give them an ability to offer, you know, more competitive pricing and therefore make them a big threat? Or can you talk about how you view that?
Yeah, no, Betfair is a big threat, and they're a big part of the industry. They're a huge part of the industry, and I've got enormous amount of respect for their model. I think they're a company that I appreciate their importance in the industry, because what it does for us is it gives you confidence as well. Like, obviously the limitation with Betfair is that it's only as effective as how liquid the market is. So, and I know people at times, you know, whenever you get into a little argument or people are going bet with Betfair or whatever, like if you don't bet them, you know, like we've spoken many times about how our liquidity and how limits increase over time. And obviously early in the piece on a footy game or a racing game, our limits are nowhere near as strong as what they are in the last 5 or 10 minutes. And that's the difference between us and Betfair. We'll still bet you strong bets, obviously not as strong as what we will 5 minutes out, you know, days in advance. Whereas at the moment, Betfair's limitation is at that point, they haven't got a lot of liquidity and you couldn't get on to win a couple of thousand on a race or whatever at that point, unless it's a really fat market like an EPL game or those sort of things. So, but in terms of being a threat, yeah, of course they're a threat, but they're also so important. Like we find that people use that platform as a big tool for how they determine if they want to bet on racing. They might bet with us if they see it, something moving, or take it one of our other products. So, and for us as well, is if there's a lot of liquidity in a Betfair market and we're laying something close, because remember, obviously you got to take your commission out of a Betfair market as well, but you know, 550 for us, if you're getting 580 at Betfair, it may not be, you know, the 550 might still be better taking it directly with us. But if we know there's a really solid 580 there, then we're happy to lay something quite significantly at 550 if we've got other situations to suit as well. So it's a very important tool. I know when we see some strong liquidity in there, we definitely open up our shoulders and take on more liability at our point as well. And I know a lot of other bookmakers feel the same. So yeah, it's a threat, but it's also a very important, it's very, very important in the industry. And the other thing is the way the product fees are levied, they're not consistent across different states. I know they have a lot of difficulty with the New South Wales product, and in particular the NRL. The NRL is probably not levied in a fair manner to Betfair. And you know, I know they've been arguing that for a while, and different people have different views on how it's to be calculated. But you know, it's one of those ones where we all have different battles on the horizon with the way fees are calculated, and it's just trying to get a fair implementation of them. And but in terms of, yeah, they are certainly a threat, but I think they're very, very important as well.
We've discussed before how having, you know, strong competition is a good thing too, because it just makes you want to up your game and be even more competitive to be the choice for punters. Linking in with Betfair, one thing that I think used to be quite popular, and it used to be popular among a lot of bookies, was live betting. I'm trying to remember in my mind, like, the evolution of live betting in terms of just being able to do it at the click of a button. Was that ever legal? Or I know there was a period of time a few years ago where there was a loophole that some bookies were using where you could call up, but without really speaking to an operator, like call up an automated line and essentially get live bets on. I never really got into live betting a lot myself. One thing I did used to love was like William Hill and Centrebet. If a game, let's say a rugby league game I'm watching and it's the first half, they would offer odds for the second half. And so it wouldn't really be, at those times it wasn't classified as a live bet because it's an event that hadn't started yet, but essentially it could be half time and you could back, you know, someone with a second half line. Essentially you are betting on the full-time result of a game. So I'm definitely aware that the laws have changed. But what's your kind of experience been over the years, and anything you foresee of where it could be moving towards?
Yeah, well, ever since we've been operating, it has been, you have to ring up to place a bet. Now, that was brought in a while back. I think the legislation got caught up with the poker machine legislation. It was to protect and you know, to help, you know, responsible gambling. And
so you think it was because someone could be chasing losses if like betting into the same game too many times.
Well, that was
part of the reason.
Yeah, and whether that's true or not, I'm a little bit skeptical, because at the end of the day, if someone is wanting to do that, it's very easy for them to make that call anyway. But I feel as though it reduces or stifles turnover for a lot of people that might just be sitting on the couch and wanting to have a bet as well, which you can do over in the UK. Certainly in the UK, for perspective, I think the turnover alive is significantly more than what it is pre-match. And you only have to look at a cricket test as well to see how much it goes through the roof once the game starts. Now, obviously there is some protection in place in that sense, but I feel now with the elevation of deposit limits and these sort of things that there's probably enough other protection mechanisms in place in that regard that, you know, from our perspective, we do take a lot of live bets, but nowhere near as much as pre-game. And it's a very labour-intensive operation for us. We've got to take all the bets over the phone. You know, you've got to put people on hold because, you know, if you ring up and you make a call and it might take five rings for someone to pick up, by that stage, someone's made a break in a footy game or whatever, and the odds are changing quite significantly. So it's very difficult to automate it. So it is a more painful sort of operation for us. But it is what it is. As you say, they used to have a click to call where you'd hit a button, it would basically ring your phone at the same time, and it would say you're backing, you know, Australia in the cricket at $1.40. Say yes to confirm, and then you'd say yes, and it would be on. So
and that, you implemented that. Did you have that function at the time?
We actually have only been live betting for about 3 or 4 years, I think, on by having our markets automated, and it was just removed prior to us.
Okay, so you did. I was interested how much live betting turnover would have dropped from that period of time, but you didn't experience that. But I'm sure you're saying your live betting turnover is a very small portion of your overall turnover, and I understand that because I feel like it's just that friction of having to phone up, having to speak to somebody, and that time, there's your frustration where you do it once, but the odds or the line that you're trying to bet on, they say, sorry, it's changed. And then, you know, that happens to you once or twice, and then it kind of puts you off doing it. So, and it would be great fun, and it would add like an extra element of excitement and be of great interest to a lot of people to be able to be watching a game and to just, you know, you get that feeling in a certain moment that something's about to change or something's about to happen. And to be able to back that. So it'd certainly be something that would be awesome, you know, if it ever got like, kind of like legalized or that opened up the avenues that people could do that. But you're not sure, or you think optimistically with, as you say, with other responsible gambling measures, there's hope?
Yeah, there's hope. It's something I've been pushing for a while. I've had a chat to the guys at ACMA about it, and they are still pretty staunch in their stance. We're improving, and I know we touched on this late last year, we're improving a lot of things in the responsible gambling side of things. It's a very important aspect. And I think if that's a primary reason, if we can put enough other safeguards in place where maybe you can put limitations on a live, or maybe you can put limitations on how many bets you place. Like, to me, there's got to be changes in a sense that you can't sort of blanket ban something just to prevent something that can still occur anyway if people are that hell-bent to have a bet on it. So I think there needs to be a more overarching look at that and a smarter way to do it. But sometimes from a regulator's point of view, it's easy just to put something in the too hard basket or to say this is too difficult to bring this in or too hard to police. So I can understand that as well. I'm certainly not giving up hope on it, but I think at the moment it is reasonably remote of happening in the near future. But, you know, when things change, if someone... I just know how popular it is over in the UK, and when you've got so many UK sort of bookmakers out here, there's certainly going to be a lot of pressure for them to eventually do something. And if that happens or if that doesn't happen, I'm not 100% sure. But there's always a chance, and it's just trying to, if it were to be implemented, it would just be to make sure it is protecting people if that's what their original concern was.
I'd be interested to know what the rules are in the US. So you can speculate on that if you know as well, because it's becoming all legalized across their sports gambling. And I always hear people talk about putting live bets on, but I'm just not sure what the mechanics are over there. But the other thing I'd like you to touch on is, although, it's not a great deal of turnover, you do offer live odds. As you say, you take it via the phone. So can you talk a little bit about your live odds? You mentioned that a lot of your live odds for different sports are automatic, but I was just curious, is there any manual element as well? And you can talk a little bit about how that automatic process works as well.
Yeah, so it's all automatic based on the starting prices and then based on field position, flow of games. There's a number of metrics.
It's like an algorithm.
Yeah, it's an algorithm and basically just tracks the play and you input the data as to what's happening in a specific point. Then you might need to move specific levers. There certainly is a manual element to it, though, where if someone goes down, I remember vividly in the Knights, the Knights have brought us a few bad memories over the course of last year, but when the Knights played the Dragons, sort of round six or round seven, where Mitch Pearce went down and someone else got hurt, I think.
I think it was him and Connor Watson.
Yes.
Both injured in the first like 5 or 10.
Yeah, that's right. Yep. And it was just one of those ones where the original market price had no reflection. So I was just trying to get yourself to the right point. And I know the Knights went in, I think they went in by 1 point, up as a 1 point lead at half time. And the market just, we just couldn't stop laying the Dragons. We couldn't get them in short enough. And it was one of those ones where it was a model. The Knights were however many points favourite pre the start of the game. And then you've got to make your assessment on how much those other two players are worth and consultation with the reduced interchange. So they are the things you need to take into consideration. And it's difficult in the run to adjust a model or adjust a feed for those metrics. So they're the ones that you've got to keep an eye on. And that's when the phone's like, you might get 7 or 8 lines ringing at once where everyone's seeing the same thing. Everyone's trying to take advantage of the price. And then it's just trying to put yourself in a position where, you limit the damage in some sense. But, yeah, it's certainly there's certainly a very large group of people that do like betting on it, particularly the cricket. The cricket's a huge one. But, yeah, it's one of those ones where there is a lot of automated stuff and there is a bit of manual intervention as well.
Yeah, that is really interesting because then it's like if you lose your hooker and your halfback, it's not only does it reduce the Knights' chance of winning the game or covering the line, but stifles their attack and maybe leads it into a lower scoring style of game. So then you've got to be adjusting like the way that the model's predicting what the total's going to be. And then, of course, other things like if the heavens open up, the model can't really reflect that, but it might also, limit attack or wind, even strong wind, in an AFL game.
Yeah, particularly the Tasmanian games. And they're the ones where you sort of touched on where, earlier in the days where you could bet on second half. Like that'd be one where, you might factor in a team's got a strong breeze in the first quarter and you might make adjustments there. Then the customers will come and hit you on the opposing side in the second quarter because they know the other side's going to be running with it. So all these things are things you just got to think of. And it's one of those ones when you got a lot of games running at once, it's difficult to be on top of everything where that's where a punter can have an advantage in that sense where if they're just sitting there and monitoring or they might hear a player's hurt himself, but it hasn't been confirmed just yet. And then it's difficult to sort of make that assessment. So there's a lot of things that go into it, but it makes it a challenge. It makes it enjoyable.
And that was actually spoken about by Lukey on the previous pod too, that like, he'll see a player go down hurt and he might bet against that team. And then the guy gets some ice spray and suddenly he's never looked better and he's back playing again. So it's like all, micro calculations that you're trying to make in quick time to try and find an edge. And you're on the other side trying to mitigate that edge. And speaking of punters having an advantage, leads us to another topic, very topical, because it's kind of come up in the tripod group today. You guys have undertaken a bit of a new year review of the way people are using their accounts across the board, specifically with a high volume of turnover into promotional markets. Now, the one thing I was going to say to you about this conversation is we'll be general. I think that's all we'll say in terms of what the promos might be, because nobody can be told about, promos really before signing up. And there could be people listening that don't have an account or whatever, but you can speak in general, I guess, to explain to people what necessitated that. And also what customers, can do if those particular offerings really meant a lot to them.
Yeah, no, sorry, my daughter just came and she obviously had her promos removed as well since she was angry. But and as you say, we've got to be general because it is one that there's a lot of inducement rules and all that sort of stuff. But I think it's, pretty common knowledge that, when people have an account, there's certain things available to members. But we've always had a fair play rule in place and we've always had that ever since we brought out any of our promotions where basically, and we think it's a very fair ruling that you have to have 50% turnover on what we deem promotions and 50% turnover on non-promo events. And the reason we bring that in is because we give our promos to literally all of our customers. It doesn't matter if you're the best punter in the world or you've had an account for a couple of weeks and you still haven't found a winner, you still get the same promos with us. And that's something we're really proud of. As long as you comply with the fair play rules, which is pretty simple. It's 50-50 turnover in both turnover and number of bets. So basically, we've always monitored that and we had policed it, but we probably hadn't policed it as hard as we could have over the spring. And we got hit with a number of syndicates that came through and opened up many, many hundreds, thousands of accounts. And it was sort of a difficult one because we were battling to understand why our quarter was so ordinary. It's our worst quarter in our history. And it was just trying to understand this. And we went through the figures and, you know, a lot of these syndicates had all won between, you know, 500 and 2,500. And when you've got 2,000-3,000 of those people in that boat, it adds up to a significant amount. So we had to make a decision then. We had to say, well, are we going to continue to offer these, or are we going to throw the toys out of the cot and say we're not going to offer them anymore, or we're going to really enforce our fair play rules to everyone? And that's something where we pride ourselves on, that we're transparent, we can explain it away. And it's certainly not saying we're not giving promos to winning customers. That hasn't changed and that won't change. But what it's saying is that in order to be eligible for the promos we offer, you have to be loyal customers of TopSport. You have to be betting on a number of items. You can't just chime in and only bet on the promos and move on, because that's the traits that a lot of these syndicates have. And I know a lot of the community in the Tripod community are genuine punters, and the majority of them are, and they love a punt. And it's been a funny sort of couple of weeks when I've been sort of conveying this message out to everyone, that you can sort of sense the people that are true punters and understand it when you put it to them. A lot of people probably, you know, like myself, where you sign up to something, you don't go through all the fine print and you don't go to the nth degree of it. But when it's pointed out to people that, hey, these are our rules, these are the fair play rules, we want to continue to offer it to everyone, but we need people to operate in this manner, the vast majority of people come back and they accept it. You get a few people that blow up at you, but that's fine. I've got no shame in saying these are the rules. And it's something we've touched on a number of times throughout the last sort of 18 months, Jacob. Like we've always said that this is what we expect if someone's going to bet with us on promos, and I've never hidden behind that, and I think it's very fair. So, and the reality is, like, you know, the community out there, if you are a regular member of TopSport, you shouldn't want people to be abusing or using these promos in that way, because at the end of the day, if we can't get the punters to operate in a manner that allows us to continue to do it, the only option is we have to remove them, which is going to negatively affect everyone. So I think the fact that we can be transparent in explaining it, the same rules apply for everyone. It doesn't matter if you've used promos to back winners or losers. These are the rules and this is how they're being applied. And every single person has got the opportunity to get promos added back on. You just merely need to get the turnover over that three-month period back up to equilibrium, and you're up to go going forward, as long as you adhere to them going forward. So I think it's a very fair stance. I know some people aren't overly happy about it, but the overwhelming response I've seen is, you know, I understand it, and I didn't realise that I was doing something that you didn't appreciate, and I'm going to fix the problem over the next little bit, and then email me back and we'll be right to go again.
I think some people have actually been surprised, because you guys have such a good reputation, and this is one of the reasons why I'm proud to, you know, promote TopSport and genuinely do so, because it is an asset for people who are sports bettors to have, and that's what followers of the Tripod are. And your reputation, people almost mix it up, and people think that because it's so rare that they do see anybody getting bets rejected or getting knocked back or getting massively reduced stakes, people actually have in their mind that TopSport is totally and utterly free for all. Where it's not quite that's not quite the case. Like you've said before, an NRL match with an hour to go or whatever, you'll let anybody on to win $10,000, right? But you might actually let some people on to win much more than that if they liked a bit more than that. But if there's somebody who's consistently beating you every game and wants to have a bet to win $20,000, you may hold them to $10,000, yep. Maybe if the line or whatever they're getting you're not comfortable. So it's not that anybody can have anything. So there are still restrictions, but you're never restricting people to the point where a lot of bookies make it impossible for you to use them again, where the restriction is to $1 or $2 or whatever. Yeah. To me, that's the same as being banned, right? Where you've got, you know, minimum amounts of like liability that you'll let anybody back on any event. And you've discussed that to you, that the quality of the event dictates, you know, what the limits are that you'll let in and on for. And so it's the same with promos. You've never kind of said everybody gets every promo for as long as they want. Now, you know, in a perfect world, I would love for us all to have every promo that we want. And I wish I could still get on every promo on every other bookie as well. It's, you know, it's not the reality and it is a bit unfortunate. And I was not aware to the extent that these syndicates, as you say, like systematically will create accounts through every, you know, contact that they have and generate a maximum number of accounts they have and then systematically, you know, pluck off these plays. If anything, it does show you guys that, you know, it can be profitable. You know, these are features that are profitable and are good for punters, you know, good features for punters to access for genuine punters, because Tristan wouldn't be sitting here saying that they had to take promos away if they weren't profitable to people. So, you know, it's something there that is good, but it's just about, I think, being a genuine punter. And I completely understand, you know, the disappointment in people, but I also think I appreciate, and I think a lot of people appreciate that there is a fairness there. There is a rule for one and for all, that 50-50 rule. And it's not tied to how profitable the punter is, where I know for a fact a lot of other of your competitors, if someone's winning, they're not going to let them also play promos, even if they're turning over heaps on other events. In fact, they're probably not going to let you do anything. Whereas yours is all about the proportion of the person's turnover. Anything else on that topic? Or
no, I just want to just touch on that at the start. Like I've never, ever, ever said we are free for all and let it. And I like exactly what you reiterated. We've always maintained that there's specific limits. I think the key difference is that we feel that every limit we have in place or every restriction we have in place or every requirement we have in place is about fairness. And that's the thing that, you know, I've got no bones about saying this. We've got customers that win seven figures off us a year that are professional punters that are the best punters out there on racing, and they've got access to every one of our promotions. But because they give us a fair shot, you know, we manage their business, we shape our markets around them, and they've got access to that. And I'm never going to get upset about customers beating us on our merits as long as they play fair, as long as they play to the limits. And I think that's the thing. It's like walking into Macca's with 20 free Big Mac vouchers and redeeming them all at once. You know, you just can't do it. So it's one of those ones where, like, we'll never change our goalposts in what we stand for. And I had a chat to all the boys that worked with us end of the year, and I said, look, that's one of the things we're proud of. But by the same token, you know, the fairness has got to go two ways. And I think this is a pretty, and you can tell the type of person that reads and goes, yep, I understand it, sweet. Give me a couple of weeks and we're back and ready to go for the footy season. That's why we brought it in at this time of the year as well. Like, we want people to have the opportunity to, if they can remedy their situation, to be ready to get the promos that we, you know, that we may or may not offer come footy season time as well.
Let's also talk about looking forward to the footy season and to 2022. We actually undertook a bit of a fun off-season project. This was myself and a couple of the admin boys, Jeff and Dan, where we did, I guess, some market research or feedback for you, where every time we were using the Top Sport app kind of over December, and we also put our heads together and talked about anything that we would give you advice on where we think there could be an improvement or an added feature. And we come up with a bit of a report for you. And the idea was that, like, yeah, you guys from your side of things, I'm sure you know, you have a good understanding of what your app offers and what you might like to add. And what works well and what could be improved. But sometimes you don't see everything being on the kind of operator side. So we thought we can give you punter perspective and also help advise prioritization of, like, what to us were some, you know, the most important things that we would say we'd like to see improved in the Top Sport app, because, you know, things can always be better and we want it to, you know, always be as good as it can be because we enjoy using it. So I'll bring up the report now, but you bringing it up as well in front of you. Were there any particular, you know, suggestions that we made that you hadn't thought of or any that you thought be interesting to kind of share? And you can tell us which ones are in the pipeline. And if there were ones that aren't, you can maybe go into, you know, what's holding those back.
Yeah, and I guess, like, what I want to say is it's like the relationship we've built with you guys and the Tripod community has been great over the last 12 months. Like, it's just, it's something where I think everyone wants to make where they're betting a better experience. And it's something where we're conscious of, and it's something that we are investing a lot of time and resources into getting our all of our platforms to a better level, where I know our app probably isn't at the standard it needs to be to compete with a lot of the other guys. And but we've got, to put it in perspective, we've got 500 open tasks in our IT platform where we're trying to get more developments done. It's about prioritising them, as you say. And a lot of the items you've raised are certainly ones that we definitely deem are important, like, you know, even notifying customers of which races we do have a promotion on, or, you know, one that you touched on was about having the ability to have Sky Channel on the platform. And that's an interesting one. We are going to be bringing some streaming options onto the sites in the early part of this year. The difficulty with an overarching, and that's the sort of question we've got to weigh up at the moment, because there's certain restrictions or certain agreements where a number of the other bookmakers might have the rights to certain racing platforms. So, you know, we've got the opportunity to potentially put up a proportion of races where we could get the access to, but then is it one of those ones where we have some up, and is it that going to almost hinder having, you know, is it going to bring to light the fact that we don't have the whole suite? So it's something we're in discussions with a few of the racing bodies. I personally think, you know, from everyone's point of view, the more people that can watch your racing or watch your sport on a platform, it only has to elevate turnover. And as we know, racing bodies are getting a fair crack of turnover at the moment. Sporting bodies are getting a fair chunk of turnover as well. Like, surely you would want pundits to be able to access and view all of this at any time. Now, I understand there's different rights and TV rights and these sort of things as well, so it's a delicate mess. But that's one of the ones where, you know, it's a difficult one. The search bar is something that is actually a funny one. My naive IT brain, I just thought this is a really simple task, but seemingly our IT guys reckon it's not. So that's one that I'm trying to get as many of these items that, and I appreciate all the guys' efforts that have put in place, because there's so many good ideas here, and we're intent on really increasing every single one of the options that you guys have put in or justify the ones we can't. Did you have anything in particular that you wanted to
raise? I'll give you some free bonus market research here. I'll put it out to anybody who's watching or listening now. If anything comes to your mind, like you've just heard this discussion, and the first thing that comes to your mind, I wish the TopSport app had this, or I wish they improved this, comment it as well, and Tristan can read those and see. I'll just run through like the list, because I think people would be curious like what kind of stuff we said, and then you can respond like, yeah, we suggested throw a search bar in there, like adding PayPal as a payment option, share your bet function.
Just on that PayPal, because that is one that I get a lot of options over and a lot of requests over, and the PayPal one is something I've been trying to get them to some sort of reasonable fee for a long time, and I don't know if it's because of the size of our operation or what it is, but the fee is just exorbitant, and it's something that's the only reason we'd have PayPal switched on tomorrow if it was even as double as expensive as all the other options. But it's just one of those ones where the last thing I ever want to do as well is have an option on the site where customers have to pay to deposit out of. So that's the reasoning behind that one.
Yeah, and again, like the things we suggested, like we knew it's not like you wouldn't have thought of it. So like we said, like, yeah, getting Sky Racing on the app, understanding that, like, yeah, there's definitely an expense and you've got to, you know, weigh that up. That's your job. We just give the feedback. And we tried to give a bit of priority as well. Even a little things about how we thought navigation, you know, in sports markets, sometimes you're looking at certain matches and you want to jump to futures and stuff. So we, you know, like said that there could be potential improvements in that. And you touched on like, maybe making people aware of where promos are available, which is always a nice, you know, user function to have. What else have we got here? A countdown ticker, I think is quite cool. Next to, you know, I think on your racing, you might have it to the nearest minute, but I think even the seconds ticking down can help. And from my own experience throwing bets on like on sporting events, sometimes you know it's close to the jump, but you might have the game on the TV and it hasn't actually kicked off yet, but that might be because the game's going to kick off at 8:01 or whatever, but the market might be closing at 8. So you know it's tight, but it's always frustrating when you go to hit the bet and then it says market has closed. And I feel like if you had the seconds ticking down, you know, that's what you're saying you've considered as well.
Yeah, and the difficulty with that, it's a balance, because I'm sitting here watching the races as we chat now, and Canberra's 50 seconds behind start and they don't look like they're going to go. So maybe it is putting a minus in front of it. I've sort of found it a double-edged sword. It'd be an easy one for us to flip over, but if you have seconds counting down and then it goes to jump, like, you know, people might think they've only got 10 seconds to jump, but they might have it. So we sort of, I think we have it counting down to the last couple of minutes, then we have about to jump. And it's a tricky one, but it's same as like an NRL game. Like, we'll always do our best to extend a start time out, but it's something I certainly take that feedback on, because at the end of the day, it's not me having the bet. It's trying to get the wider range of guys like yourself that are finding that as a frustration, because that would be one we could change the logic quite quickly. But I've found with one thing I've found over the years of running top sport, when you make a change when people are used to something on there, the amount of people that will benefit is great, but the amount of people that are so used to the old status quo and it will upset. So you've sort of got to take that with a grain of salt. You got to work out, is the amount of people I'm going to please by this change going to be better or worse than the amount of people I'm going to upset that it's so used to? And because we've got a database of people or a group of customers that have been with us for a long period of time. So that one's a tricky one. I'll be interested in the viewers' feedback, what they feel, because as I said, that one's not a hard one to do.
Interesting. Yeah, no, I definitely get that the people hate change, and I'm kind of with that too. I'm sort of the old man on the hill now, I think. And yeah, like, I think most bookies, they with the ticker, yeah, it goes into negative for racing, and it's fairly understood that, like, that's the jump time. It still gives an awareness to somebody if it goes red or into the negative that, like, obviously this thing's probably going to jump soon. And again, it's going to be different if someone's actually watching the event or they're not. And I tend to think even if the sport ticker is ticking down to zero and then hits zero, and I'm definitely going to get my bet on if I get it on before zero, I'm happy. And then if in truth they haven't kicked off and they're milling around on the field and you're going to extend another 5 minutes, I think that's okay if the timer then resets or whatever. I have seen that cash out function. I'm sure you've been asked that a few times. So we did say, yeah, it is a function that's quite popular among some bettors. Is it something that's in the pipeline for Top Sport?
Yeah, and this one actually, we've built all the logic and we've built the... so. There's a couple of problems that we've got to address at the moment. And the main fundamental one is that we have the calculation. If someone, I won't say this because we don't have the time at the moment to better do it, but if someone absolutely needed a cash out, we could calculate that and give you a fair figure. So the calculation side, which is the most difficult element of it, is done. And it is definitely in the pipeline. It's just we've had a couple of more pressing issues. Now, the two difficult things that we've got to try to understand is, how do we report this to the racing and sporting bodies? Is it deemed, because they all have different requirements. Some are deemed as cancellation, some are deemed as wins. And it's not a difficult thing to do, but we've just got to sit down and we've got to approach all of them and understand exactly how we need to report the cash out. But the bigger issue is that at the moment we've got two separate systems between live and in-play. So we need to find a way to be able to link up our in-play books to our pre-match books, so that you can get if you back Penrith at even money before the game starts and they're into $1.10, which is when the majority of people do want to cash out, it's got the ability to do that, as well as talking to the, you know, if you've got a multi, some are in-play and some aren't. So that's the one we've got to get our head around. It's not an overly difficult one, and it's something we've got the ability to do. I'd be pretty confident we'll have it up sometime this year, but there are a couple of little things that unfortunately I'm a little bit time poor at the moment, so it's just trying to sit down and negotiate and find the ways to do that. But it certainly is an important one, and from our perspective, like, if a single, you can take the other side, but I understand sometimes people don't have the liquidity in their wallet at the time to be able to do that. So 100% agree, and certainly in the pipeline.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I suggested, like, maybe you don't have to roll it out all overarching. Like, even if like cash out function's not available when any of the events are live, people can probably live with that. But like, if, you know, as a preliminary step, they would still have the option to use that function. And like, if people listen to my 12 commandments, you know, my thoughts on cashing out and stuff, I'm not, you know, recommending that, but I'm just talking about the popularity of it. But you guys have heard there that Tristan's definitely considered it and they are working on that. So that's exciting. And I'll just throw some more, you know, just to give people an example of like improvements. We suggested the way that the bonus balance, you know, is displayed and how that can be utilized. Something I think would be quite cool and popular and hopefully a simple fix would be retaining selections in a bet slip when people have picked like a bunch of selections and maybe want to bet a couple of combinations, and they've, you know, if you pick seven or eight legs, you hit bet, then you got to go and pick them all again. Is that an easy fix?
I think it's actually in, it's certainly in the Mobi and the desktop. If I'm if I'm telling porcupines, I'll jump off here and have a look. But there, you have to hit it before you actually submit the bet, and you should be able to then retain your selections. We've had a new app release go out today, which if it wasn't in the old one, it's definitely in this one. So that one, if it's not in place on all of the devices now, because I know that's the thing I've got to put my hands up where every customer is a little bit different on which devices they use. We've obviously got the three platforms. We've got the desktop, the Mobi, and the app. And it's just trying to make sure we've got all of these features in all three environments. So that one is certainly something that if it's not, and I'll reinforce that with the IT team, that if it's not on one of the development tools, it'll be up in the next release. But that one's a good one because it's certainly, particularly on racing, when you're having your exotics or those sort of things, if you know, a lot of people like to throw a Quinella on and then next thing they'll like to put a trifecta with a similar set of options. So it's a very important one, and it's one that I'll make sure is lined out to all of the options.
Yeah, or you're betting something or a couple of things are singles, but you also want them combined in your multis. That's something for people to keep an eye out for. Then update your app and check it out if you're listening to this, and you can see maybe that feature's already live now, which would be cool. The other big one that I discussed with you, which is probably a bigger conversation, but the player props are very popular, I think, especially in US sports, which, you know, in the Aussie summer, we're all following NFL, NBA, and the current player prop portal, I feel, it's a little bit hidden. It's not necessarily as fast. The interface and I feel like that could work a lot better if those markets could be integrated into regular match markets. And I think we've talked about that in the past, that's also or is a goal of yours to do.
Yeah, that one's going to be implemented very, very soon. It's our internal IT team are working on that pretty rapidly. And I agree with you, like there, we've got so many options there on the player bets, and a lot of customers don't know they exist half the time. And it is a little bit clunky because it does go to an external third party. So, and from our perspective as well, it's very difficult to manage because we've got no control over the prices. They come through a feed and it becomes a bit difficult in that phase. So that's going to be good in that sense. And what it does then is allow us to build out our same game multi offering on your US sports, which will be really, really good too. So that certainly is a very high priority from our point of view, and it will be done, very early in the new year.
Yeah, that's exciting to hear. And yeah, we you know, gave suggestions about the user friendly nature of or making it more so with regards to same game multis, which again are very popular among punters. So that's definitely going to be music to people's ears that you guys are putting in work to improve that. And you know, other little things like that I reckon could be nicer, and I'm sure you've heard this one before, like improving the layout of like pending multis.
Yeah.
Because people, you know, it's hard for people to interpret it in terms of like what legs they've got, which ones have won, which ones, you know, are in play, what odds each of the legs you got. I'm sure that's something that can be tidied up or improved.
Well, what I'd like, and yourself and the listeners of this show to have a look at is if you have a look on our Mobi site, which in my opinion is probably our number one platform at the moment. Our Mobi site is the one that I feel is the one we've got as close to where we want it to be. And if you have a look on that, it does have the multis in a manner that I feel is a good option. So have that's what we're trying to replicate.
Okay, so go through your web browser and use TopSport way rather than the app.
Yeah, so the Mobi, forgive my IT ignorance, but seemingly a Mobi site is much easier to make modifications on than an app. And because we're only a sort of smallish team, we've had to bring in some external people to help us with the app. So long term, we want to try to get the app to really replicate the Mobi site. But if you have a look on the m.topsport.com.au or just go to topsport.com.au on Safari, it should bring up the Mobi site. And then you can save that as a little icon on your phone. But that is what we've built what you're referring to with the multis, because I agree with you, it looks horrible on the app. It's something I've been very much at pains to try to do, and it does. You click on the multi and it's got a leg by leg, it shows you which ones are alive, which ones are gone, and now it's a case of getting that built into the app, which hopefully will be in before the start of the footy season. But I'd be interested in everyone's feedback on those items to make sure you're happy with what the Mobi site looks like, because I feel that one's a good feature. But by the same token, I'm very conscious of understanding how many people use the app as opposed to the Mobi site, and that it's important, very, very important to get the app up to the same quality as the Mobi.
Yeah, I hadn't like looked really at the mobile site, so that's something that'll be worth a look, and I'll let you know what I reckon. And that gives people an idea. We also gave you a list of like little things where there might be a bug or a glitch that we're experiencing and understanding. And someone like myself that's been involved in creating an app as well, I know all too well that these things pop up out of nowhere and that it can be different for Android versus iPhone and all this sort of stuff. So I know it's not easy, but hopefully what we did could help you guys as well as help the general, punting family that uses Top Sport have a greater experience, which is what we all hope to achieve. The last one for you today to wrap the season, to wrap the series, and since we are right at the beginning of 2022, would be like, what are you've just talked about some key features or improvements or additions to the app, but anything else comes to mind in terms of your major goals for Top Sport in 2022?
Yeah, we just want to keep improving a lot. We feel we put a really good stake in the ground there last year of what we're all about, what we can grow to. We know we've got a lot of things we still need to improve on. We know the bigger guys have got a pretty big lead on us in a number of facets, but I feel like we do the basic things really, really well. I think we bookmake very, very well. So it's just trying to get our name out there and to try to expand our offering even further. We've got a lot of really exciting features coming in over the next year where we want to be the leaders in terms of what markets we offer. We want to maintain where I feel we sit in the marketplace in terms of the sharpness of our prices, the aggressiveness of our prices. We want to roll out a few new features as well. The important thing is to continue the development, and what you guys have presented to us in terms of improvements for all of our platforms is important, because we know that it's all well and good to have strong product offering and strong pricing, but ultimately we need the apps to function in a way that people don't get frustrated by it and go back to where they previously were. So it's all about growth from our perspective. We've got an exciting sort of year coming up. We've got a couple of partnerships with the Titans we're doing something with, which I think is a really good thing from our point of view. We're going to be really focusing on growing our rugby league offering. Our cricket one is already, I feel, one of the best in the marketplace. And our US stuff, once we can roll those player bets into the matches, I think we're going to have a great sort of offering there. We've got a number of new products coming out. We're very close to launching a Top Sport card where you can get cash out, as like some of the others have done as well, which would be a good feature too. It's all about just trying to continue to grow, but I think the underlying thing that we will always continue to do is just maintain, our pillars that we've always built. Like, we want to make sure we still have integrity of things. Like, we have had to change our policy, or not change our policy, because we've always had the fair policy in place, but we've had to implement it a bit more vigorously, I suppose, by the fact that as we've become a bit more known in the marketplace, there are people out there that do try to take advantage, but in terms of when we do have to make changes that can be perceived as negative in that sense, we can explain them and justify it in a way that we're still upholding what we're all about, and that's to maintain a very fair product for the punters, and we always want to continue to do that. So I'm very much looking to the year ahead. I've really enjoyed last year's association with Tripod on the rugby league specifically, and then the wide world of sport just gone. Who knows what's going to happen this year ahead, but it's certainly a big year for us coming up, I think.
Yeah, it's exciting. We appreciate all the work that you guys do put in, and appreciate the support for the Tripod last year through this summer season, Wild World of Punting. And you have expressed to me that you are supportive of, me bringing out more content and things like that for the future. I'm going to kind of take a little bit of time now to assess what my plans will be and what I can do in 2022. And I know you and I are kind of going to talk about, what opportunities there might be for 2022, specifically around NRL. But, there's other cool opportunities and advantages punters have grabbed that you've allowed us to do. So, like the Wild World Bet of the Week, and got a nice winner yesterday. We won the random multi, albeit at the reduced odds with that voided leg. And we got one more that I'm going to share right now when we finish this call, which is tied into the NFL playoffs, which I'm excited to share and should be a bit of fun for people. And again, like, I got to take my hat off to you guys, commend you guys for allowing me to come up with, these unique markets that where it's not always the easiest thing to even work out what the odds should be, because I think a lot of bookies would shy away from that, especially when there's a fair volume of people getting on. And the results have gone, thankfully for me, really, really strong. But you haven't shied away. So I think people respect that as well. And as I said before, guys, if you guys have any feedback, Tristan's always open to it as well. So throw that feedback in the comments. But thanks once again. And I'm sure we'll talk again in 2022. But stay safe, and I'll catch you later.
Thanks for that, Jacob. And yeah, appreciate it. And reiterating that point, never hesitate to tag me in a post if you want me to respond to something. I'm very happy to do that. That's something I'm happy to do. And yeah, really, really appreciated the and value the support over the last year, and excited to see what potentially might happen in the year to come.
Thanks again, Tristan. Hope you guys got a bit out of that chat. Okay, let's go out with a bang here. Here's my final Wide World Bet of the Week. As I said at the top, we won last week, which in fact settled yesterday, the College Football National Championship bet. It was a classic game. We never in doubt of the total points going over 60. It was like 13-12 in the fourth quarter at one stage, but it was a riveting battle. And in the end, the Georgia Bulldogs finished too strong, 15-point winners. And that means you have done really well if you followed the majority of these Wide World of Punting bets. And we're going to stick with Gridiron this week because the NFL playoffs are upon us. And in fact, I've got a bet that you can ride for up to 3 weeks. So it's going to be NFL playoffs total wins combo. Now, on that note, we actually did an impromptu NFL live reaction show on Facebook after the craziest finish to an NFL season I've ever seen. So check that out on the Facebook page if you're interested in that. But as I say, playoffs are here. And I'm taking a team from each conference. In the AFC, I'm taking the Buffalo Bills. In the NFC, I'm taking the Dallas Cowboys. These are not necessarily my Super Bowl picks, just two teams that I think can perform well and possibly better than the market expectations. And I think they're going to go well in these playoffs. And we're getting $3.50 that these two teams combined for three or more wins. That's the Bills and Cowboys. So how do we get there? Well, they're both at home and they're both favorites this weekend. So the Bills play New England. You guys know I loved New England. I was all about New England bandwagon weeks ago, and they did catch fire, did the right thing by us, cashed that leg of the random AF multi. But at this point in the season, I definitely believe the Bills are the superior side. And that's the same that I can say for Dallas over San Francisco. I know San Fran are a bit trendy. Many people might think they can get the upset, but I feel like they poured it all out to get to the playoffs, where I really do believe Dallas has an extra gear in them. So I'm picking both those teams to win a wildcard weekend. That would get us to two wins. Then we just need one more win between the two of them to cash at $3.50. And that might involve an upset win in the divisional round of the playoffs. But you just never know. If there's upsets, you don't know necessarily who's going to play who in the playoffs. And even if we do need an upset, if we get two shots at an upset, I mean, neither of these sides, the Bills or the Cowboys, are going to be paying $3.50 in the second round of the playoffs. These guys are good sides that have a good shot. If you think, speaking of upsets, if you think the Bills or the Cowboys themselves could be upset in the first week of the playoffs, then you wouldn't want to jump on this bet. But I have to add, the great thing about this bet is we actually can still win even if one of them loses, because it's three wins combined, and you can get three wins all from one side, and that would be if Dallas or Buffalo makes a Super Bowl. This bet would win right there on its own. So what I love about this bet and why I think there's real value is there's two different ways that this bet can win. And of course, if they both lose this weekend, that's going to sink us. That would be two upsets. So I'm not predicting that. But other than that, this bet could go 2 or 3 weeks deep. I really like the price. You guys know I wouldn't tip it if I didn't love the price. Promo code TRIPOD as always if you want to go grab a Top Sport account. You never know what other unique markets I might just pop up with. I've got half an eye on the Australian Open. It's hard these days with futures and so much uncertainty. But I always say just follow the TRIPOD page, Instagram, Facebook, join the Facebook group, ideally, just for your chance not to miss anything. And yeah, look after yourselves. These are trying times. Again, a big thank you to everyone that's tuned in, interacted. Good luck if you're jumping on this bet, of course. Good luck for the pending Big Bash bet. It's looking really good. Great price that we're riding there. The Renegades have only won 3 of 10. Annoyingly, they're still in the hunt for the top 5. But if we cheer against that in the last couple of games, we could have a super juicy ticket into the Big Bash finals as well. And good luck on all your other punts. Should say, racing fans, No Morals will be out this week as well for the Magic Millions. So stay tuned for that. I don't know when I'll be back. I don't know where I'll be back. But I'll let you guys know when I do. Until then, always gamble responsibly and Lego.